Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into the collapse of the Pacific Coast Oil Trust, ROIT, and this wasn't just some slow market decline.
No, not at all. What we're seeing points towards a more, let's say, internal kind of demolition. The market cap just cratered, right? It went from over $88 million down to less than $10 million.
Yeah, staggering drop. And our mission today really is to look at the evidence we've got, financial reports, lawsuits, even whistleblower claims, and try to understand why investors felt so, well, gypped.
That's the word many used. And what we've found suggests a multi-stage failure. It really starts with a fundamental structural problem in how the trust was set up.
Okay, let's start there then. This structural flaw, what was it exactly?
Well, think about it like this. ROIT was designed with this huge power imbalance. If you were a unit holder, you were basically just a passive recipient. You had zero operational control, none.
Zero control. So who did have a control?
Ah, that would be the operator, Pacific Coast Energy Company, PCEC. They ran everything. They managed the assets, pumped the oil, and this is crucial. They calculated all the costs. Every single cost deducted before the trust, and thus the investors saw any money.
Wow. So PCEC decides the expenses. That sounds like a potential conflict of interest waiting to happen. Almost like the fox skirting the hen house, maybe.
You could definitely say that. It's less a trust and more a trust me setup. So what happens when that operator, the one with all the accounting power, starts, you know, messing up operationally?
Right. And it seems they did mess up. We found evidence of operational negligence, didn't we?
Yeah, quite a bit, actually. And this wasn't hidden. Years before the final collapse, back in 2018, the Environmental Defense Center, the EDC, they sued PCEC.
Sued them for what?
For Clean Water Act violations. And get this, they cited over 100 documented oil spills and seeps. Over 100.
100 spills. That's not minor. So PCEC's own poor management was creating these huge potential future cleanup liabilities.
Exactly. They were generating the very problems, the very costs they will later, let's say, use against the investors.
Okay, wait. So the same company causing the environmental damage, which leads to cleanup costs, is also the company calculating those costs for the trust.
Precisely. Which brings us to what seems like the decisive blow, weaponizing the accounting.
How did they do that?
So in February 2020, PCEC drops this bombshell. They announce a massive asset retirement obligation, an ARO. That's the estimated cost to clean up wells in the future.
Okay, an ARO. How massive are we talking?
$45.7 million. $45.7 million.
Whoa, that's huge. And what was the immediate effect of announcing that?
Immediate and brutal. PCEC used that calculation as the reason, the pretext, to just completely and permanently suspend all cash distributions to the unit holders. The last one had been months earlier, July 2019. Boom, no more cash.
$45 million announced seemingly out of the blue, and it just cuts off all investor income right then and there.
And it gets worse. There are serious questions about how they calculated that number. A whistleblower, a former PCEC employee, filed a lawsuit in 2024.
A whistleblower. What do they allege?
They claimed the company gave, and I'm quoting here, purposefully false data to the trustee about that ARO calculation. Purposefully false, which, if true, suggests deliberate manipulation, fraud, essentially.
Okay, so a huge, possibly inflated ARO cuts off cash flow. What did that do to the trust financially?
It sent it into a death spiral. The trust became insolvent almost immediately. It couldn't pay its bills, so it had to start borrowing money from PCEC.
Wait, borrowing from the operator? The same company that calculated the ARO?
Yep. So PCEC, the alleged cause of the whole mess, transforms itself into the trust's main creditor. By mid-2025, the trust owed PCEC something like $11.8 million.
Unbelievable. So the investors are getting nothing. The trust is broke and indebted to the operator. Could the investor sue PCEC directly?
Ah, well, that's the final trap, the legal impotence. When they tried, the courts basically said, nope. You, the individual uniholder, lack standing. Why? Because the harm wasn't legally considered to you directly. It was derivative harm, harm done to the trust entity itself.
Okay, so the harm is to the trust. So the trust should sue, or someone should sue on behalf of the trust, right? A derivative suit.
Logically, yes. But here's the legal poison pill. The trust agreement. The very document setting up ROIT, it explicitly barred uniholders from bringing those derivative suits.
You're kidding. So the courts say only the trust was harmed, But the trust's own rules say the owners of the trust can't sue for that harm.
Exactly. A perfect legal catch-22. It left only the trustee, BNY Mellon, with the theoretical power to act. And investors accused them of gross negligence for, well, essentially doing nothing to protect them. They were completely trapped.
So let's pull this together. What does it all mean? That huge ARO, whether inflated or not, it wasn't just about cost, was it?
No, it directly triggered the endgame. The trust agreement had a dissolution clause. If cash proceeds fell below $2 million for two straight years, the trust could be dissolved. The ARO ensured that happened.
So it's a whole system failure. You've got the structural vulnerability, the operator having all the power.
Uh-huh. Then the operational failures, the spills.
Then the alleged accounting manipulation with the ARO.
Followed by the trustees in action and capped off by the legal restrictions that blocked investors. It's a confluence of factors, all leading to this near total loss.
So, stepping back, what's the big takeaway here for anyone looking at these kinds of high-yield investments, like royalty trusts?
I think the core lesson is recognizing the absolute separation of control from ownership in many of these structures. You might own a piece, but you have zero say in operations or cost management. The operator holds all the cards.
Which leaves investors with a really critical question to ask themselves, doesn't it?
Absolutely. How much is that attractive yield really worth if everything hinges on the operator's integrity and competence, especially when the legal structure might leave you totally exposed if things go wrong? That's the calculation you need to make.